Test 1, 2.
Tampon.
Welcome to Beats a Rainbow, episode 32. We're talking about a lot of stuff.
We have a lot of stuff to talk to you about, so let's just get on with it.
Yeah, we're going to talk about Trump. We're going to talk about GOP debate.
How much I hate about Ted Cruz.
The Daily Show.
Yeah, The Daily Show.
Lots of divorces. And then our opinions about stuff.
Yeah.
You guys ready?
You're
ready.
It's going to happen.
Oh my God, it's happening. Oh my God. Sup, Jen Paulson.
I don't know how you like my rendition of Tampon 3 times.
I liked it a lot.
We're leaving that in?
It's the best intro in the world.
Okay, cool. Yeah, we left it in.
Yeah, we did.
Awesome.
Right at the beginning, right? So people know what they're listening to.
It doesn't mean that I have my period, but I do.
I like that our listeners are like, we're intimate enough so that they understand when it's a flow day.
Well, I mean, normally I wouldn't be like, hey, episode bleh. This is the 4.5 period that I've had since we've been recording. Not to mention the one that kind of drew out that time I had an abortion.
Oh, my God. Speaking of abortion, let's talk about the GOP debates.
I also, for the record, have never had an abortion, but you'll be the first to know. Oh, God. I'm just seriously, like, I came in it a little late because I was, like, just doing other shit to that fucking debate. And I was like, it literally just was like a roast.
Yeah.
I was like, I want to know. They seriously had to have hired joke writers. There's no way they didn't.
It was, it was entertaining, hilarious, and also incredibly infuriating.
And so. Terrifying.
Terrifying. Like, scary as fuck.
These are the people that America has elected to represent, you know, the Republican Party in various states. Are you fucking kidding me? When the only person making any sense, and rarely, albeit I will not give him, like, all of it, is Rand fucking Paul, you know you're fucked.
I don't know. I thought he was the worst one. Like, I was just like, dude, you're a fucking dick. Like, you're not even making sound points. All you're doing is attacking other people on the panel.
That's all they did.
Yeah.
That's all of them did. I'm not saying he was, I don't know if he was logical the entire time.
Oh, not at all.
But,
yeah.
I don't know. When I was watching it, it was probably towards the last, like, 45 minutes, and they, like, ramped it up to full on.
Yeah, they sure did. Like, there was a moment in the beginning, though, when they did the hold up your hand thing, and I was like, oh, fuck. Trump has just shown us that he doesn't give a fuck. He's going to come out of this thing winning. And then he ruined it when Megyn Kelly asked him about his comments about women. Yeah. Which was entertaining when he was like, only Rosie O'Donnell. I was like, okay.
Let it go, dude. Oh, my God.
But it was one of those things where, like, he gets the joke, but also the way that he answered Megyn Kelly's question, it was like, you literally just proved to America that you were totally okay with demeaning women based on their appearances.
And you're still the same piece of shit asshole.
Yeah, like,
we knew this, but now we, you know, it's cool.
I don't know. It was, I mean, I thought Trump was incredibly entertaining, especially with this whole, like, we need to build a wall thing. Like, did you not live through the Berlin Wall? Like, why is he the only one that doesn't understand why this has happened? Like, I don't know. It's one of those things where, like, history repeats itself, and I just want somebody to knock him upside the head and be like, yeah, Germany tried this. Russia tried this. See how great it worked? Great plan. Dummy. Yeah. Let's keep the communists out. Let's keep the liberals out. Yeah, so I thought Trump was super entertaining, but whenever Walker started talking, I was like, get me the fuck out of here.
I feel like the devil lives inside of him. He's just grotesque.
He's so super smug. He's super smug. He's super swarmy, bragging about the fact that he defunded Planned Parenthood. And, like, okay, I'm sorry. You are a politician. You are supposed to be more informed on issues than anybody else in this country. And you still believe that bullshit video that Planned Parenthood sells baby parts. Like, I don't understand why any of those newscasters weren't like, hello, this story came out like last week that wasn't true. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I was like, why are you allowing them to perpetuate this incredibly false, like, thing? I don't know.
Yeah, well, and then everybody, like, hits time during their remarks, you know, and the little noise happens, and they just keep fucking talking.
Yeah, and then they keep talking. Them. They keep talking about how they value life, but unless you're a woman with a uterus, Your life is not valued. If you're pregnant, we don't give a shit about your life.
No, mostly if you're just a white entitled male. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. So yeah, that part of it. And I'm like, I'm sorry if listeners disagree with my viewpoint. I'm not going to apologize for it. Like, I am not, I don't need to like express my views on it, but I do believe that women have rights to figure out what's right for their own bodies, and they have access to healthcare just as much as anybody else does. And a lot of people, a lot of who this is going to hurt is women who cannot afford healthcare,
yeah,
and who need cancer screenings and who need other types of healthcare and STD screenings and birth control and things like that. Like, abortion is about 3% of what Planned Parenthood does. So defunding it hurts a lot of people, not just pregnant women, it hurts families.
Well, yeah.
So I don't know. I just, that thing, I'm just like, fuck off. There was a couple of guys up there though, and I didn't pay attention enough to like write down their names. I was too busy tweeting about it. But there are a couple that I was like, okay, like, maybe you're not the worst. Like, you're saying a couple things that I'm like,
maybe
okay.
Maybe Kasich.
Yeah. Like, that was the one that, and he was the one that a lot of us were tweeting, like, how'd the Democrat get in here? But, yeah, like, I don't mind him, you know? I mean, there's, his voting record may not defend all of the points that he tried to make last night, but, like, who does? People are allowed to change their minds, so,
well, yeah. And just kind of having that general concept that, you know, we're here to help people and make America great, but with its people and not all the fucking money.
Yes. But, and that's what I thought was so interesting, is that when they get up on their soapbox about the Department of Education and about small government and about letting states legislate, then it's all about like the people. And then it's all about like freedoms and autonomy and things like that. But whenever you get on social issues, all of a sudden it's like, God is this, and everybody needs to fall in line with what I believe and with what the government mandates that you should believe. And that's where I think, I don't think the Republican Party, I don't hate the Republican Party. Like, there's definitely politicians within the Republican Party that I'm like, you're doing some solid work on issues that I care about. But I think they need, like, Meghan McCain has been saying this for years. They need a solid overhaul. They're losing people because they're getting too, like, it's too much of a circle jerk.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's too much of, like, bullshit rhetoric about, like, progressiveness and, like, all this other crap where it's just, like, fucking, like, show up and make progress and do something for your constituents. And then maybe people will actually listen to you when you're talking about real issues.
Well, yeah, instead of, you know, Scott Walker talking about busting up teachers' unions.
Oh, my God.
Are you for real, man?
I just, Wisconsin, like, what are you
doing? I don't
understand
it.
I don't either. But you know what? It's the same as the district that kept voting Michelle Bachmann in and out all the time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just that thing where it's like, every single person in the entire country is aware of that insanity, except for the people that are voting for them. Like, they're just like, this person's great, you know? I don't know.
Well, they're voting their issues, yeah, and not everybody's issues.
Right, exactly.
Which I get, but
Yeah, and you have the right to that. You have the right to vote however you want. But I think it was really awesome how, and I will say this, and maybe people disagree with me, and I don't care, but I, for one, am actually grateful that Trump has thrown his hat into the ring, because unlike the last election, I think I've never seen this many people that I know tweet this GOP debate at this point of time in the campaign. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, nobody else cared. And the fact that Trump was up there, like, every single person I knew almost was watching it and live tweeting it because it was entertaining. But also because it was entertaining, it also forces us to get involved and to pay attention on what they're actually talking
about. Well, and pointing out just how insane the Republican Party has become.
Right.
For the most part.
Yes, exactly. And like, the one thing that I hope it'll mobilize is, if you care about, like, if you care about social issues right now is really like the thing that I care about. Like,
yeah.
When it comes to, you know, being conservative with money and spending and tax dollars, like, yes, we can talk about it at a later time. It's super fucking boring, but I have opinions about that. But when it comes to social issues, I think watching something like that is really important, especially for fellow women to understand that, like, there is a war happening And when we get really comfortable in the fact that like Roe versus Wade is still upheld, and you watch a politician up there legitimately talk about disbanding the power that the Supreme Court has, when like, and tries to like uphold it by talking about the Constitution, even though like the whole point of like the Supreme Court is to make sure that there's checks and balances. When you watch somebody legitimately talk about taking away the Supreme Court's power, like that's when I want my fellow women and my fellow like gay, lesbian, transsexuals, like all the minorities to get involved in this campaign process, because these are things that they will try to do.
Oh yeah, and it's good to get involved early because that's what really counts.
Exactly. Exactly. So anyways, I'm glad that we started off with some real heavy, deep GOP talk.
Yeah, hey, Republicans, you didn't have barely any validity before, but then you got a friend in fucking Donald Trump taking Donald away Trump. Any shred of credibility you may have had.
See, I can't say that I hate Republicans because I have a handful of friends that I absolutely love and adore and respect who are Republicans.
I don't hate Republicans, but right now
I hate Republican.
The people.
I hate some Republican candidates. I will say that. And the people that they represent.
Well, there are a lot of Republicans that are giving the good Republicans like a terrible name.
Yes. Like Ted Cruz. Whenever he talks about being the commander in chief, I literally legitimately start laughing. I'm just like, oh my God.
Oh, I'm like, do I have to tell my biological father to find God so he comes back, Ted? Yeah, it's going to bring my dad back. Thanks, Ted Cruz, you fuck. And that goddamn Huckabee, the military, remark that he made, I'm like, you dumb idiot.
Huckabee is one of those guys that I totally see as being like my friend's dad that I actually really like and adore and I'm like can pal around with. But when he just makes like some really ignorant, dumb comments that you're just like, did you really just say that out loud?
The minute he said it, I don't have it down verbatim, but like the military is just about like war and destruction.
Killing people and breaking stuff, yeah.
Killing people and breaking stuff. I'm like, oh, wow. Okay.
That's going to be a really fun soundbite later on.
Have fun.
Yeah, I thought it was hilarious.
I was like, oh, here we go.
The violence in Hua. So anyways, yeah, GOP debate and then... right and perfect timing when they were talking about like God and stuff. It was like, oh, bye bye, and switched over to The Daily Show for Jon Stewart's
Megyn Kelly just should have started singing One of Us by Joan Osborne. One of them should have. Or they should have got Carly Fiorina to come back and just like sing it as she walked across the stage as her face hurt when she's trying to smile. Looking pageant wave.
Oh my God, so amazing.
Seriously, SNL has to start soon.
I don't understand why there's that question. Like, I understand that the Republican Party is big on, like, the conservative Christian right, but, like, it shouldn't have a place in politics. Like, I don't understand why people can't get the separation of church and state.
Well, and just freedom of religion and get it, you know?
Right?
It's just like religion shouldn't even be a part of it. Hey, why did we come over here, by the way? For, like, well, avoiding taxes.
Right.
And then also avoiding religious persecution.
I know. I just, it like, to me, sometimes that stuff comes up and I'm like, I don't know if we read the same Constitution or if we read the same Declaration of Independence.
Yeah.
Because, like, it shouldn't have even been a... It shouldn't even fucking been a question. Like, it's just one of those things where I'm like, why? Like, if I was standing up there, I'd be like, I'm sorry, it's none of your business.
Well, didn't they get the question from Twitter?
Or so, yeah.
Yeah, so fuck that shit. Oh, some kid with a cap on. You know, it's not like a scholar asking these fucking idiots real questions.
That's true.
My personal opinion is that I believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, and my dad left, and then he found Jesus and came back to my mom and me. Fucking Ted Cruz. I hate him so much. I didn't know how much I hated him until last night.
I didn't either. Somebody tweeted a picture of, God, what's his name from the Munsters? Uncle Fester? Or which is the Dracula one? The vampire one.
The Dracula
one. The Addams Family. Monster. Lurch? Not Lurch. It's the Munsters. Uncle Fuzzy,
the Munsters. Was he the grandpa?
No.
Grandpa is like a mom. Mm.
Vampire from the Munsters.
Yeah, it was grandpa.
It wasn't.
Uncle Fester's from the Addams Family, grandpa. Fucking bitch.
So anyways, Grandpa Munster,
I was right.
They put a picture of him right next to Ted Cruz. Look at that. And now you can't ever unsee it. Yeah, every time you look at Ted Cruz, you're like, that's his dad.
Your dad came back.
After living with the Munsters and starting a new family. It's like, I guess I'll come back to that kid. Yeah, I don't know.
He's actually a grown-up Eddie Munster.
Yes.
I think that guy's dead.
Yeah, and no, sorry, like, no offense to people who are Christians and believe in that. Like, I'm definitely not mocking your beliefs at all.
You can believe in that, but you can't let it lord over other people's lives. Right. It's your decision.
I just don't think it has any place in the debates. I really don't. Like, I understand that, like, you need... I understand if you're asking it from the place of, like, what is your compass of morality? That's where I get it. But, like, there's different ways to pose that question when you're talking about your values and your morals and things like that. Like, I just feel like religion should not even have a place.
Yeah, you can. I mean, I would just like them to say, yes, I'm Christian. I'm aligned.
Totally.
I'm aligned with this church.
Yeah.
But I believe that everyone has their.
Yeah, I believe in whatever. Honestly, keep
just something simple. And,
yes.
And without any sort of judgment. Or high horse, or bringing it back to abortion, because it's not your fucking body.
I just don't, and like the bottom line is that I feel like I don't know anybody who's like, please let your personal beliefs dictate the way that I lead my life. Like, I would love it if like you take what you personally believe and allow it to dictate how I act, operate, and the freedoms that I have. You know what I mean?
Okay, I'll do it.
Like, I just, yeah. Like, I don't, unless you're in a cult, like, I don't know anybody who's asking for that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You'll be back. Everybody who's listening, we are dog sitting two other dogs this weekend, and they're super lovable and super affectionate, and Jennifer's in love with one of them.
Bigger
so.
One.
A little cute and a little cuddler.
He's got a Muppet face.
He does.
I'm a fan of dogs with Muppet faces.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So then hopped over to The Daily Show to watch Jon Stewart's last show.
Yeah, that was tough.
Oh, man. So bring it full circle. When I was 23, so the show had been on for a while.
17 years.
Yeah. So when I was 23, I started, like, I finally got, like, my own place with cable, everything, like, kind of struck out on my own. I just, like, left a serious boyfriend. It was, like, a very dramatic time in my life. But my, like, favorite thing of the day was coming home, opening up a beer, watching South Park. And then watching The Daily Show. Because, like, they would do South Park reruns all the time.
Yeah.
And, like, it was... And it's hard to describe it in words or whatever. But it was just one of those things where, like, it got me excited about politics. It got me excited about... Because I think Clinton was leaving. So it was between Bush and Kerry.
Yep.
Yeah. So was that Bush's second term or first term?
First. Wait. No.
No, it wasn't.
Second.
Yeah, it was the second.
No way.
Yeah, because who did Bush...
Let's not
Bush,
even try to do the math
Who did
right
Bush
now?
Try to run against the first time, though? Because it was Bush and Kerry. Because that was the election that I was super...
Gore, dummy.
Oh, that's right.
Sorry.
Don't call me a
I'm
dummy.
I'm sorry, it just came either. Out. I just said it. I remembered.
Yeah, so it was the beginning of Bush's second term, and he had just, like, completely annihilated... everything during his first term. So watching The Daily Show and watching South Park, like, just got me really excited about being progressive. It was also right around the time that Bowling for Columbine came out. So it was kind of this whole thing about, like, just, like, getting involved. And, like, it felt like for the first time ever, not even just in my generation, maybe, like, the 60s and 70s are a little bit different. But for the first time ever, it felt like these things were being directed towards the younger generation of just, yeah. like, in college, straight out of college, first job, like, get involved.
Yeah.
Like, these things affect you, and they are important to you. And I remember The Daily Show, and I know there's a lot of people out there that are like, it's a liberal show. I don't really feel like that. I feel like throughout its history, it's done a pretty fucking good job of skewering both sides of the coin.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I do feel like, out of all the news shows out there, I honestly feel like it was the one that was the most fair and balanced.
Well, there was, like, a practical application of pointing out fucking hypocrisy.
Totally. Yes. And, like, and not in an overt way either. Like, during...
still entertaining.
Yes. So entertaining. Like, and I think that was the thing is that... like, I have a friend who made a comment a couple days ago about, like, and this is how most people choose to get their news. And it's like, fuck yes. Like, why wouldn't you choose to get your news in a way that, like, makes you laugh, completely informs you of the top news stories of the day, educates you on what the fuck is going on in your country.
Well, and everything's skewed anyway.
Yeah.
You know, like, the foremost, like, purveyors of news... oh, it's the finest. But, you know, the more...
CNN, MSN, CNN, Fox News.
Fox News. And their papers. Like, we're talking New York Times. Yeah. All the papers. I mean, they're skewed, too, sometimes. Yeah. I mean...
they are. I mean, there's been a lot of talk about that, I feel like, in my personal sphere in the past couple weeks. Like, I just listened to a Nerdist podcast where they were talking about that, too. And, like, you're never really going to get away from something that's not fully objective. Because... we're people, and we, whether we want to or not, like, our own opinions and angles are going to come into things. But I do feel like The Daily Show is one of the very few things that you could consume where, I mean, they pulled punches on both sides.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, like, it was never, it wasn't like, I mean, Colbert Report, I got it after a while, where, like, it's satire. I get it. But it was one of those things where, like, but they didn't do quite enough of, like, we're not on either side. Like, we're on, like, our own side of, like, both of you guys are ridiculous. You know?
Well, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Plus, Jon Stewart. I want to marry that guy. Like, that is my ideal husband. Like, I'm so in love with him.
Yeah, I love when he was talking to Colbert and he was like, shut up, shut up.
Yeah,
shut
and, like, up. He wouldn't look over at his wife and kids because he was going to break down. And then he almost did break down and I'm like, oh, my God, I love you so much. Yeah. Yeah. You can have your wife and kids, Jon. It's fine.
He's like, I'll take you on. You're my side piece, Amber.
Yep. And I'm okay with that. I'll be the hot mistress.
I love that fucking term. I hate to say it. Side piece. It's so fucking terrible.
Yeah. I'm sad, though. Like, I feel like I didn't value The Daily Show as much as I should have when it was still here.
I just wish he would have just at least waited. I mean, it's so close to the next election.
I know. I wish it would have waited until the... yeah. But maybe he'll come back for a couple guest ones.
Maybe he's just like... fucking like,
I mean, after 17 years, like, I'm sure he wants to spend time with his family. He did that amazing documentary that, like, I didn't read a ton about it, but I know, like, it was incredibly critically acclaimed. Like, he poured everything into it and it was worth it. And I think he wants to do more of those things.
Okay,
too.
That'd be cool.
So, I don't know. I wish
he's gonna take over for where Michael Moore gave up,
right?
What happened to you, Michael Moore?
I know. I didn't love everything that Michael Moore did, but, like, a couple of things that he did were pretty great. Like, yeah. It was the same thing where, like, it was entertaining. You had to kind of, like, research and back up your own facts. But, like, for a guy with an opinion, he makes his opinion incredibly entertaining to watch.
Yeah. So,
I wish that they would put out, like, the entire box set of The Daily Show, because I would invest in that.
Maybe they will now.
I hope
so. God, that's too much TV for me.
I mean, it in little pieces.
That would just take up your entire, like, shelf.
But what an amazing archive, though.
Yeah.
Like, of your, literally, of, like, all of our lives. Okay. Like, every single daily event that happened for the past, like, 17 years.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
And then it graduates and goes to college.
Yep. And it's like, bye-bye.
Yeah, thanks, AP classes. I get to graduate a year early.
Yeah. Oh, Jon Stewart, we hardly knew ye.
I know, it was so amazing when we'd have Bruce at the end. I didn't know that was going to happen.
Yeah, Bruce Springsteen performed at the end. And
so that was really cool.
That was really cool. Oh, man. I do not envy the guy who's coming up after him, though.
Well, it'll be interesting, because, I mean, people were pretty, like, I'm going to say mad, but Trevor Noah is from South Africa.
Yeah.
So reporting on American current events is going to be interesting.
Yeah, I feel like that was a choice that was not celebrated as much as I feel like other choices would have been.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Luckily, I don't
have to make... It's like my diplomatic response.
I don't have to make those tough decisions, luckily.
I know, I don't either.
Any shirt.
Your
shirt is cute, though. I don't know, I think it's... No one can see your shirt, you're on a podcast.
Sorry.
Did you shop... Did you shoplift that shirt? Because Kim Richards would have.
That is crazy. So, for listeners, Kim Richards of Beverly Hills, Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, was arrested for shoplifting earlier
this
week.
Like something of like 100 items. I was trying to shoplift like 100 items at Target.
A cart full of kids' toys, too. Like it was kids' toys and kids' stuff, which is weird because she doesn't really have any like little kids.
It's like, do you think she was just trying to get away with it?
I think she had a psychotic break.
Yeah.
I think something like, so apparently she went to rehab after she got arrested for, public intoxication and resisting arrest and battery towards a police officer. And then, so she went to rehab and she said it was really good and she needed that break and she came out and it was fine. But I don't know. Her ex-husband Monty said that it's all a big misunderstanding and the truth will come out. But like, I mean, what's to misunderstand about like literally leaving a Target with a cart full of stuff? Like, did she think that they were like, cool, you guys can just take that?
Come back and pay for it later, because you're Kim Richards.
Yeah. I don't know.
I loved you in Return to Witch Mountain.
I hope she's okay. Like, no, I'm just going to say that. Like,
Add her to your prayer circle. We're not going to be mean. Just we're reporting the celebrity news.
Yep. It's one of, like, honestly, it's starting to become one of those things like Amanda Bynes and Lindsay Lohan, where, like, it's not even worth... Like, it's just starting to be really sad. Where it's like you gotta
break,
get some
like
help.
She's doing it for attention almost.
Yeah.
Like,
or something. I don't know. It's starting to really remind me of Amanda Bynes, though. Where, like, it's not really. Yeah.
But too, like, late in life.
Yeah. I mean, addiction messes up your brain.
It really does. Yeah.
As we sit here drinking PBRs.
Yeah. Drinking my beer. Talking about other people's lives falling apart. Apparently, Gwen Stefani and Gavin Rossdale are getting divorced.
Oh my God, I'm so upset about that.
Why?
Because I love them.
No, I just mean like, why?
Oh yeah, why are they getting a divorce?
They must have had that last, so they had that last baby to be like, all right, let's don't, we need another baby. And
they were in counseling for a long time. Like, because I remember hearing these rumors, yeah, before the last baby, where they were going to marriage counseling and there was a lot, like, I really do feel like, as we've seen in the past 10 years, where there's smoke, there's fire. If there's a bunch of stories coming out in Us Weekly and People about, like, trouble in paradise, I start to believe them. Because I'll never forget, like, Jessica and Nick Lachey. Like, there was all those stories about, like, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, no, everything's fine. Everything's good. And, like, what do you, like, and it's proved itself time and time again.
Well, that's with, like, Blake Shelton and Miranda Lambert. I was like, hell no, you're lying. This is like so like tabloid typical, and then they did, and I was like,
it's always the story that won't die, you know what I mean? Yeah. And I feel like with Gavin and Gwen, for a really long time, it's been the story that doesn't die, and it bums me out because I don't know, like they've been together since I was like what, fucking 20 years old? Like it's been a long time since they met, and like. Have been together and they've like written stories about it or written songs about each other. Like Gwen did a whole breakup album about Gavin and then
a breakup album. Like they were going to break up.
When they broke up the first time she did that, always knew I'd be your ex-girlfriend or you'd be my ex-boyfriend.
For Gavin or for the, for Tom?
Okay. For Gavin.
Okay.
Keep talking. I'll look it up.
Yeah. I didn't anticipate that, personally.
Keep talking.
But it's true. I don't know. I'm bored with this already.
No, we're talking about it.
Okay. So she wrote a song about him, about them, a whole record about them breaking up.
Yeah, it was pretty much after they broke up the first time, she pretty much wrote a whole album about him.
When did they break up the first time? Like
when she was still a part of No Doubt.
Okay.
Because they all toured together.
Okay.
And then they got together and they broke up and she wrote Ex-Girlfriend about him. She did that cover of It's My Life.
Okay.
And that was directed towards him too. Like it became a huge thing because then like he got really upset that she was like writing these songs about him, and like it was obvious that they were about him, but then they reconciled and got back together and then got married and then had been going to counseling for a while. So
okay. Yeah, I guess I hadn't followed it. I just sort of was like, okay, cool.
You're kicked off the podcast. I'm sorry.
Awesome. Bye. I don't care. I'll just over Gwen Stefani and yes. Gavin Rossdale sounds good. Put that in.
No, but like, okay, part of it too is that just them being like a rocker couple into just like really rad people. Like it was kind of cute to see like somebody so edgy like her and somebody so handsome like him, and like they're both, I don't know, it was refreshing to kind of see her be like such a powerhouse and him be like more quiet as years went on, like still doing stuff but not needing to be like more in the spotlight.
Yeah. Well, you know? And I mean, she just got more progressed, like more sort of in the spotlight, like with The Voice and stuff like that. So.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a bummer. Yeah. I don't know. It'd be tough to get over a guy like Gavin, I'll tell you that.
I know.
He has a hot pace.
Apparently Reba McEntire is getting a divorce.
I know.
But it sounds like they're just separated. I read in two separate places that they're just getting separated.
And has this happened before though? Cause they've been together for 25 years. Did they get separated before?
I don't think so. He helped her through that whole shit when, like, oh, half her when fucking that plane band
went
died.
Down. Oh, that was so sad.
Oh, I can't even listen to.
I read her autobiography.
I love Reba.
So I remember that. Yeah, because she was married before her career took off, and he was a piece of shit, really possessive, etc. And then, yeah, that's a bummer.
I know. I mean, it happens. It's clearly, like. The Ben Affleck, Jennifer Garner divorce, I was just like, what? Fucking, I don't even care anymore. You can all get divorced.
Everybody get divorced.
Well, then this week, the first thing I saw this week, they had ran that story that, like, Will Smith and Jada Pinkett Smith were getting divorced. And then Jada was like, no, we're not. He's my king or something.
Yeah, and she was like, every marriage goes through evolutions or whatever. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. There's smoke, there's fire, you guys. Yeah. There's been talking about this for a while now.
Well, I mean, that. Yeah, I feel like they say that about a lot of people, but I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah, well, sometimes you get divorced, and sometimes before you're even totally divorced, you start dating your nanny.
Yeah, do you think he hooked up with his nanny?
God, I hope not.
Because, okay. Here's where
In this particular case, we were talking about the Ben Affleck
and Jennifer Garner.
But it came out that he's dating their former nanny.
He got intimate with his nanny that Jennifer fired back in May or June after she found out.
Oh, mm-hmm. You know more about it than me then.
Well, because they I believe the timeline is that their marriage was already on the rocks. And they separated, and then I think when they were separated, he started, like, kind of hooking up with her.
Yeah, that's what it sounded like.
And then Jennifer found out. And I know the nanny was fired, or let go, quote unquote, back in May.
Okay.
And then the story just
Well, because they'd been secretly separated for a while, right?
For a while. Yeah.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
Because, okay, here's my question. And so, J-Lo and Ben Affleck. Calling the marriage off like right before the wedding, and the rumor was because of his bachelor party that it just got like it was too much, that something happened. But also Britney and Justin Timberlake, it has since come out that one of the reasons why Justin broke up with Britney was because she was at this weirdo like poker game with Ben Affleck and a bunch of other guys, and something happened with her and Ben. For sure, and I'm not saying for sure, like, I know in a court of law, but for sure, it's been confirmed by multiple sources that Britney was playing strip poker with a bunch of these guys and, like, ended up taking off her shirt. But that...
Sounds like fun to me.
Other stuff happened, too.
Okay.
And Ben Affleck's name was, like, yeah... So, I mean, not, like, I do believe that people change, and I believe that when you're single, whatever. But, like, it is one of those things where it's, like, your integrity has already been called into question when it comes to stuff like this, like, multiple times.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. But then I also, like, I'm like, well, he invited her over to his guest house, and I'm kind of like, well, she was the nanny. Like, how do we not know that he was just, like, I mean, I've been in situations with families I've worked for that, like, if you... I won't get too much into it, but I had a situation where, like, I worked for a family and something was misconstrued that, like, never should have been misconstrued whatsoever. Like, in those situations, like, as a nanny, like, you're trying to do your job, but you're working with a married couple that may or may not be having problems. And it kind of becomes a cliche of, like, the nanny, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you're just, like, the first person in the line of fire.
Yes. Oh, totally. Yeah. And, like, I mean, it, the wife was crazy, but, like, that was neither here nor there. They always are. No, but, like, certifiably. But okay. Anyways. Yeah, so I don't know.
What were you getting at? Do you think, how do you feel about this weird rumor that, like, immediately started going around, people jumped to conclusions as soon as, like, they broke up, like, Jen and Ben, Jennifer and, We'll get there. Jennifer Garner and Ben Affleck, they break up, and then everybody's like, oh, he's going to get back together with Jennifer Lopez.
I kind of want that to happen, though.
I don't think it's going to happen now that he's fucking the nanny.
I don't think it's going to happen, but they were really cute together. I was really surprised when they broke up. But, I mean, J-Lo doesn't play that shit, so... And it was, I mean, it was very clear when they broke up that, like, he was naughty. He did something real naughty.
Let me say it like that. That's not cool. Be like, he's a fucking asshole. Fucked up. He was a naughty guy. I'm like, you gonna do? He had some indiscretions.
He did some bad shit. Yeah. Sorry. I'm not trying to excuse his behavior at all. He was a dick.
I got you, J-Lo.
Like,
Garner, love you. Yeah. Alias, favorite show. You're amazing.
I'm not a huge fan of Jennifer Garner. Whatever. But I don't wish that on anybody. Like,
no, God,
it's
no.
Obvious that she's pretty miserable and in pain, so I feel bad for her.
God. I can't even.
I know. Like, I don't know. Like, to have your whole world torn apart by something like that, like, that would be pretty awful. I'm speculating. I don't know the truth, but...
Yeah, luckily she's a fucking cool-ass chick, and she'll probably end up meeting, like, the ultimate love of her life.
Yeah, I hope she moves on. I'm not going to say she's a cool-ass chick, but, you know.
I know she is, and you don't know.
I'm not a big fan. Anyways.
That's cool. Speaking of all those divorces.
Yeah.
Let's get a little happy and say...
Get a little happy.
Finally happened. Under the guise of a possible birthday party.
Yay.
Jennifer Aniston and Justin Theroux are married.
Yeah, this is... I love that shit. I'm genuinely happy. I like that.
I want those pictures. I hope they have some pictures.
I know. It seems real dreamy, though. Like, I love the idea of getting married and just inviting your friends over and having it be, like, intimate and chill and, like, a warm house party. And then flying off to Bora Bora with, like, 10 of my super famous friends in a private plane and, like, just having a honeymoon there.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I was thinking about this last night where I'm like, but your honeymoon with a bunch of your friends. But I suppose if you've been together long enough, it's not like... No, we need to be alone so we can have a bunch of sex. Like, you already
No, had, I mean, let's having, be like, honest. I think, like, Jennifer Aniston seems like the kind of person, like me, that likes to fucking party.
Yeah. Oh, totally. You know, yes.
They just like to party. They like to party. They like to be with their friends. Yeah. It's, like, one of their values. It's good, you know? Because, yeah, you could... Jesus, sorry, computer. violated the...
Just kidding.
Just get it out of my sweeping hand gestures.
I think that would be super fun. Because that's kind of what, like, if I ever got married, I like the idea of, like, kind of having, like, a week-long, like, almost Indian wedding where it's, like, all your favorite people in the same place and you just have, like, an extended, like party with them. Like, yeah.
Yeah, that's, like, one of the thing you do if you can pay for everybody.
Exactly.
Like.
If you're Jennifer Aniston and Justin Theroux.
Yeah, even then, though, it's, like. Yeah, and I like that they had it at her house. I would love to get married at my own home.
Yeah. I would, too, if I had Jennifer Aniston's house.
Well, yeah, it was totally. Very nice. I looked at all the aerial pictures.
I know, me, too.
I was like, yes. I was
like, what would my life be like if that was my veranda?
Yeah. The pool's too far away.
I don't know.
I want the pool, like, fucking right next, like, right, just like.
I'm going to step on my door and jump in the pool.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Why not? Yeah.
I don't want to take a golf cart to my pool. Okay, maybe.
Golf carts are surprisingly fun.
Carry me.
Yay. Yeah, it's been crazy because it was the full blue moon in Aquarius last week, which meant a lot of romantic transitions for a lot of people. And I think we've really seen that happen in our celebrity pop culture world.
Yeah, also I have a boyfriend.
That is true.
I got a boyfriend.
Yeah, let's catch up on your week. So you have a boyfriend.
You're good. It's all good. Yes. Oh, nothing else? No, this week has just been like very work central and like small personal tragedy is unrelated to me, but still like, oh, sad.
Yeah.
I don't want to get into it because I feel like not like a fraud, but it just doesn't need me to talk about that kind of thing.
I feel you.
It's just one of those weeks. Just a real, just kind of chill week.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
Until today, we're going to fucking ramp this shit up.
We're going to celebrate.
Yep, sure are. Like Fraggle Rock or something.
Yep. We got our PBR. We're going to hot tub later. I'm real excited.
Yeah, I'm super excited. Did you see her that Zooey Deschanel had her baby?
I did. It's pretty cute.
And apparently, she got secretly married.
I saw that, too. He's cute.
Oh, yeah. He is good looking.
Yeah.
Of course he is. She's lovely.
I'm glad she broke up with that Death Cab for Cutie guy. I don't like them. Their band sucks, so.
Oh, I used to like them a lot. I'm not really into them now.
No.
But.
I liked some of the songs that they did for the Twilight soundtrack, but.
He just kind of seemed like a puke.
Yeah,
To turn into my aunt.
Yes, I agree with that. I used to really like Death Cab for Cutie, like, back in 2006, but then they had a couple songs, like, You Will Be Loved, that still makes me angry to this day, where I'm like, fuck you, you fucking dick.
Why?
Like, it's. Because it's a song about how. They had a one-night stand. He's leaving and like, but don't feel bad because even though I don't want you, one day you will be loved. So don't worry. Like, seriously, it's the most condescending bullshit song in the entire universe. And at the time, like, I was dating a guy that I call the ball-headed professor. That, like, that song was like his, like, epitome of personality where he's just like, chin up. Don't worry, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, fuck off.
Can we just talk about my problems? I'm a woman.
No, it's just, I don't know. It was just so, like, it was such a condescending piece of shit that ever since then, I'm like, fuck off, Death Cab for Cutie. But anyways, some of their songs are good, though.
Yeah. Dude, I totally read this week that they're rebooting Jumanji next year.
Are they really?
I'm kind of, I mean, I love the original movie.
I feel like
I love that movie, but I don't know.
That kind of makes me sad because the original has Robin Williams.
Yeah, why
in
are they
it,
doing
so
that actually?
I don't know why they would do that. Fucking make new movies,
yeah,
Hollywood.
You can. Let's do it.
Like, as many screenwriters as I know, you are not hurting for scripts. So fucking make something new. The end.
Yeah.
Anyways.
You like, I'm gonna take this box with me. Bye.
Speaking of remakes and songs, Ryan Adams is remaking 1989 Taylor Swift's album.
Do you think he's not? You think he's gonna try to put it out? Like,
that'd be expensive. Did he release some of the tracks on Instagram?
Like 30-second bits. Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's gonna put out a cover album. Yeah. Okay. I think he's gonna
have to pay for it. Unless Taylor's like, it's okay, Ryan.
I think he should make Taylor pay for it and get her back for all of her bullshit, bourgeois bullshit this past year.
It's her fucking record, dude.
I don't care.
She wouldn't even, like, let people.
She needs to value other people's work the way that she makes other people value her work.
She needs to protect her fucking catalog, too, though. I get certain points of it.
I get wanting people to value your work. I totally get that as a writer and as somebody who works fucking hard for the stuff that I put out.
Yeah, you don't want people to make money off that, your stuff.
No, like, I don't want people passing around my books for free without permission. But I think that, I don't know. I think I'm kind of off the Taylor Swift. I think I need a few more weeks to, like, get back on my Taylor Swift thing. Because
that's okay. We can
with
just
the past stuff that has happened, I just kind of feel like, I don't know, I'm just kind of tired of her. Like, yeah. I feel like she gets a lot of accolades for stuff and, like, she kind of has become a little bit self-important. And Gawker wrote a really amazing article about her tour that I was like, you know, kind of, like, the whole, like, I'm best friends with supermodels and, like, all this other bullshit. Like, I'm just kind of like, fucking make music and shut up. Like, I don't know. I adore her. I'm not saying that I don't like her. I just, with the Apple stuff and then the Spotify stuff and like other stuff with that. I'm just like, I don't know. And the Nicki Minaj stuff, I don't know, whatever.
Yeah. I mean, they made up. We don't need to talk about it. I know,
but she hasn't made up with Katy Perry and I'm like, fuck you.
They're never going to make up. I don't care. I don't need my pop stars to get along.
I don't either, but like, I don't know.
I'm just not trying to shut you down.
I don't know. I need to like be more intelligent about my opinion on this, so I'll just be quiet. But
cool. Well, speaking of intelligence,
anyways, I'm really excited about Ryan Adams doing a cover album of it because I do like her songs. I like the album. I like her talent, but Ryan Adams is another one where I'm like, I personally don't care for him, but I appreciate his talent. So I'll just say that. Like, even when I don't like Taylor Swift, I still appreciate her talent and she's a powerhouse and whatever. But yeah, Ryan Adams is another one. Don't you fucking break Mandy Moore's heart. Don't you do that. Because we're not going to be cool if you do that. I'm still going to like your songs. I'm still going to like your voice. But there's another part of me that's like, what about remaking Mandy Moore songs when you're together? Like, that could have been awesome for her and for her career. Yeah. But did you do that? No, you didn't.
No.
You didn't do bullshit for her.
Well, you know, I think a really good distraction would be you telling me about Bachelor in Paradise.
All right. So,
you're like, I can do that. Okay. I'll have a cookie. Okay. All right.
That was super clever. Bachelor in Paradise. Okay. So this past Bachelor season was a banner one in terms of writing recaps and getting recognition for it and live tweeting. Yeah. And like, it was amazing. And I don't often brag about stuff when it comes to my own stuff, but like, I'm just going to brag about that for a second because it was fucking awesome. Right. And I worked really fucking hard in those recaps. So I feel like I get some space to kind of be like, people were reading them and liking them and like, people that even you know are reading them and liking
absolutely.
Them.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, but having Bachelor in Paradise come like right off of it. So now I kind of feel pressure to recap Bachelor in Paradise, even though like I kind of fucking need a break. Like I'm
take a break,
I'm
man.
Burnt out, dude. And like Jennifer Weiner, who is one of my Twitter friends, guys. She follows me on Twitter. I don't know if you knew that, but we follow each other on Twitter. But anyways.
Nope. So, it's but good. I get it.
I talked about this on the last podcast about how one of our mutual followers and favorite Twitter people was like, get ready to tweet about the Bachelor in Paradise. And she's like, no. She's like, I need a plot or something. She said something where I was just like, yeah, no, you're right. Like, I need a storyline. Like, I need
a narrative.
Like,
a narrative. She said.
Yes. I need a narrative, not just
it's
like
a fancy writer term.
But it's true, though. So, like,
I get it.
Okay. So now, Bachelor in Paradise, and this is another thing that pisses me off. Bachelor in Paradise is on two nights a week. And they do this, and I think they did this last season too, or at least one of the Bachelor seasons, because not only are they trying to up their ratings during a really lazy, like, rating season, but also they're kind of doing the same thing that The Voice and American Idol and Dancing with the Stars does of like the two nights a week thing. But I don't fucking like that. Like when shows do that, I'm kind of like, I'm fucking out, dude.
It's greedy.
It's greedy and it monopolizes my time and I don't appreciate it. Like, fuck you. So, but then even more than that, so Sunday night is 2 hours. Monday night is 1 hour. And then immediately following that is an after show. And what they're kind of trying to do is play off the Chris Hardwick thing with The Talking Dead and the one that he used to do with Breaking Bad, Talking Bad or whatever.
Okay.
Like he does these like after shows where like he sits down with stars and they talk about the show or whatever.
Oh, sure, sure.
Yeah. So, and like, to be fair, Chris Harrison is kind of like the romantic version of Chris Hardwick.
Sure.
Like, he's very personable. He's funny. He can pull something like this off.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give that to him. Where I'm like, I see what you're doing, but like you're using Chris Harris. And like, it's kind of like.
He's probably tired too.
I know. But and it's also like the Andy Cohen Watch What Happens Live too.
Oh,
so
yeah.
They're trying to kind of like do something like that.
Like they have to.
I think it has promise. It feels like it might. But the mistake that they're going to make, that they made on Monday night, was instead of getting, like, all these other celebrities out there, like Kelly Ripa, John Mayer, like, all these other celebrities who are, like, public about how much they love The Bachelor.
Yeah, like Sarah Silverman and Michael Sheen.
Yep. Instead, what they're trying to do is circle in ABC stars from, like, Scandal. And so, like, I could give a shit what the fucking stars of Scandal think about Bachelor in Paradise. Like, it's that thing where I'm like, now you're becoming a circle jerk. Like, yeah. You need, because, and then they would have.
I mean, Bravo gets people, like, Bravo people on, too.
They do, but what Andy does, and here's what's important, is that unless it's, like, a huge episode where he gets two people from the same season or whatever, he'll get somebody from the show that they just watched, and then, like, a huge celebrity draw. So even if you don't watch the show, you still want to be like, I want to watch the show. Yeah. And that's where after Paradise, the show is going to make a mistake if they keep doing like, and here's two stars from another ABC show. Like, we don't care. We want to hear what like John Mayer thinks.
Wendy McClellan and Kobe from the Goldbergs.
Yes. Like, and I would watch it for that. But like, but you know what I'm saying though?
Tony Goldwyn. No, I don't put up Tony Goldwyn. I don't care what his opinions are.
Exactly. Yes. So, and then they bring.
He killed Patrick Swayze in Ghost.
He's very handsome, but I don't give a shit.
Never forget.
Yeah. So, anyways, I'm a little annoyed. Because I'm just like, it's too much fucking time. I have a life. I don't know. I can barely keep up. Anyways, with like everything else that I have going on with like all these new book projects and stuff.
Give up. Finish your summer.
I think I'm going to like take tomorrow to think about it. We're like, I feel like the minute that I'm like, no, I'm not going to do a recap. It's going to be the next episode. I'm like, I got to fucking do a recap. Like, this is crazy.
Yeah.
And I feel pressure now where it's like everybody who is reading my recaps from the last Bachelor season, like I don't want to lose them now that I'm not doing a Bachelor in Paradise recap, you know?
Yeah, well, no, exactly. That's just kind of hard. It's a lot.
Professional decisions. So, but anyways, Bachelor in Paradise was crazy. It's weird because like here's the other thing about the recap. There's really not a lot to talk about. Like it's basically just like people get on the island. They kind of check each other out. They figure out who they want to make out with.
Where are they? Are they in Mexico?
Like they're by Puerto Vallarta.
Okay.
The only like big thing was that Kardashian from Chris's season brought her fucking sister with her.
That was dumb.
It's the dumbest. Like I don't. And like so during After Paradise, you get to ask questions, and I like asked this question time and time again, and I knew they weren't gonna fucking answer it, but I was like, What's the fucking deal with the sister? Like, why would you even let that happen? It doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
It has more drama for the most dramatic person you've ever had on the show.
Right. Like, that, and see, that's the thing. Where I'm like, Kardashian alone cries constantly. Like, she is the most dramatic, like, drama queen they've probably ever had on the show. So why would you bring her sister, who is not a virgin, and who's kind of a bitch, to, like, both her and to other people.
Yeah. They're like, hey, who is the one person you feel the most threatened by?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know. My sister? Does she want to come on the show?
Right. Like, honestly, if you are going to do anything to make people, like, not want to watch it again, just make Kardashian cry some more. Like, it's so fucking annoying, Paulson. No, I can't stand it anymore.
I don't like the crying.
I can't do it. Like, she cries at the fucking drop of a
hat. I told you!
Yeah.
I was like, I can't watch this. There's all the crying. And you're like, but it's crying in bikinis. I'm like, it's still crying.
I mean, I can tolerate it for, like, the first 15 minutes. But then when she's still crying after, like, 2 hours, I'm like, get the fucking net. Right? So, I don't know. We'll see. I'm going to keep watching because I know there's going to be awesome people showing up. And, like, Claire's back again, and she's really there for true love. So that's going to be really exciting to watch. But I don't know. We'll see. I feel like I'm probably going to do like a super easy Dom recap. And then because so this past week I've been archiving a lot of my old blog posts, which includes a lot of my old Bachelor recaps. And I was like looking at some like old ones, and I'm like, I made that really easy on myself. Like, it was just so, like, short, simple, sweet. And now, like, I do all these, like, really long, drawn-out ones with, like, a bunch of tweets and stuff. So
yeah, maybe cut the tweets.
I know. I got to make it easier on myself. I like the tweets because I feel like they add humor to it.
Well, and they add linkability. I mean, if
yes.
honestly, that's really important. Oh, totally. Really
like, that's why I think a lot of people are reading it now is because, like, I link to a lot of different people on there. But I don't know. We'll see. Maybe Bachelor in Paradise.
Maybe we just do all tweets.
I was thinking about it. I mean, that might be... But there's another... There's, like, a Bachelor... Another account that, like, all they do is, like, a tweet slideshow.
Oh,
maybe, so I don't really want to take
away maybe,
from that.
Yeah, maybe you do your tweet... Pick your tweets first and then write around them.
That's usually what I do, actually. Okay. That's exactly how I do mine.
Well, then find a way to do it easier. I don't know.
I'm going to find a way to do it easier. Because I got shit to do. I've been literally getting up and working... And working until I literally fall over, and it's been amazing, and I'm getting shit done, but I can't lose sight of it because I have to build my fucking empire.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to be distracted by you, Bachelor in Paradise. You are not going to throw me off my fucking game.
No, it's not. Mm-mm. Don't let it.
I'm not going to let it.
Get like HPV of the brain.
Yeah.
And that's what we're calling this episode. HPV of the brain.
Honestly.
Brain PV?
HPV. No, we're just calling it HPV in the brain.
Okay.
So last night I was, I finally finished this huge, monstrous project that I've been like, I've never worked so hard in my life than I have like these past 2 months. And it's been legit awesome. But so last night I finally fucking finished it. And I stayed up really late to kind of like put some finishing touches on stuff. And finally, like I think 4:30, I crawled into bed. And I could just, like, feel my brain being like, how do we do this? Like, how do we just, like, relax and, like, go to sleep now? Yeah. I don't know. And then this morning I let myself sleep in, which was really nice because I was like, I'm done. I get, like, a mini break.
You get to sleep in. Yeah. Definitely.
So.
Fucking hey.
I know. It feels real good, though. I'm working real hard.
You're doing great.
I'm coming out with a new book on Wednesday.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. So I'm really excited about that. I got my hardcover proof today for The Middle of Nowhere. I'm really excited about that.
We decided to just sell the paperbacks, though, to everybody else. Executive decision.
Yes. So when I first started working on what is now The Middle of Nowhere, it used to be called The Holiday Check. And the original thing was just I wanted to do a hardcover version of The Holiday Check. But then when I started working on it, I was like, let's go all the way and fix everything I don't like about The Holiday Check, which turned it into a better book, and it felt different, so we retitled it The Middle of Nowhere.
Good.
It's essentially the same plot as Holiday Check and the same story, but it's better. It's kind of like Holiday Check is a VHS tape. The Middle of Nowhere is DVD.
Okay. Like,
it's shinier, it's newer, it's reformatted, it's re-edited, it's got some special features and Easter eggs that The Holiday Check doesn't have. You don't have to get rid of your VHS tape, but
no, you want to keep it as a collector's item.
Yeah, oh, totally. I would.
Burn it.
But so okay, so originally we weren't going to do a paperback because everybody already had paperbacks of The Holiday Check, right? So then we came up with the hardcover of The Middle of Nowhere, and it didn't even, like, it literally was the thing that, like, didn't even cross my mind. Like, we're doing an ebook and stuff like that. But then a couple weeks ago, we finally, like, got the cost analysis of the hardcover from our proof, and it was really expensive. Like, making a hardcover is fucking expensive. Yeah. Especially if you're not a big publisher, because you can't do, like, mass production.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you're mass producing, then it's a different story.
Totally. Yeah. And, like, I know... Here's the thing that I kind of hate and makes me sad is that I know people are going to look at the cost of hardcovers on Amazon and then the cost of our hardcover. And like when people do that, I always just kind of want to be like, Amazon rips off authors. Like I love Amazon for Kindle and like for stuff like that. Like I love it. And as an author for Kindle, I love it.
Are you not doing a Kindle version?
Oh, we are. Okay, yeah. Cool. But we just, it's not ready yet. But like for getting your print copies of books, you really, if you care about supporting authors, you want to buy it local. You want to buy it at your bookstore. Because yes, you're going to get it so much cheaper at Amazon, but like that money is literally coming out of the author's pocket. Like there's books on there that the authors aren't going to get any royalties on because they're keeping those prices low. So anyways, the point is, so we did the hardcover and we like tried to keep the cost as accessible to people as possible. Like you're basically getting it at cost, right? because I just didn't want to like jack up the price to like $35-$40, which is what it would be if it was like, I want to make a good royalty on this, right?
Well, yeah, which was just kind of hard to do because, I mean, you're not selling a regular book for that much.
No. So, but it's like $29.99 to $31.99, depending on if it's pre-order or retail. Like retail, it's $31.99 just because we had to do it so like we can justify the costs and the shipping and handling and stuff. But then when that happened, I was like, well, duh, like let's put out a paperback version too, because paperbacks are less expensive to make. There's still print copies are still expensive, but paperback is a lot more accessible to people. I feel like a lot of people who want to replace their holiday check copies are much, it'll be much easier to do so with the paperback version. Yeah, so yeah, we're going to do that. So that was announced today and I'm real excited about it. So yeah, it'll be good.
That's awesome.
That's, I know,
exciting.
It is exciting. Like I love how much people loved Holiday Chick and I don't want to take anything away from that, but I really feel like if you loved Holiday Chick, I still think you should get The Middle of Nowhere, because I think you're going to be delighted with like how much better it is. So
that's, yeah, awesome.
Yeah, I'm real excited.
I suppose it's new readers too, which I know, even more exciting.
Yeah. Like I'm trying to really not talk about it a ton right now on social media networks, because once the ebook comes out, like, and once like everything's out, I feel like there's gonna be a lot happening with it. So I'm trying not to do the thing where like I'm burning people out on it right now.
Sure.
Because it's just a pre-order. I mean, pre-orders are great because they really help authors. Like, you're supporting an author while they're working on new projects, which is, like, pre-orders are awesome, but it is that thing where it's, like, I just don't... Looking through my archives and how much I talked about Holiday Chick when it came out, I'd be like, yeah, I would have been fucking annoyed with me, too. So, yeah. But, yeah, that's a wrap with that.
It's an older, wiser Amber Carter. Oh, yeah, Amber L. Carter.
That's right. And then we have a new book coming out on Wednesday, so there's going to be even more to talk about.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that next week.
Yep.
It's gonna be real good. I can't wait to hear about it. Is this 32?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, 32.
We're at about time. Should we wrap her up so we can hot tub?
Let's wrap it up.
All right. Is there anything that we missed? I feel like we didn't miss anything.
I literally think we hit every... Hold on. We got a racist in the house.
Oh, yeah. Right on the back copy. This is on both of our...
I'm not a racist.
No. So,
neither is she, but...
On our Pizza Rainbow Facebook page, I even posted about how excited I was to talk about this. Okay, so recently, Kelly Osbourne went on The View, and the issue of Trump's remarks towards Mexicans came up. Ugh. And Kelly Osbourne made a comment, and this isn't a direct quote, but basically saying, where does he think... He's going to get people to clean his toilets.
Who does he think is going to clean his toilets?
Yeah.
And then like, Raven Simone was like, oh,
damn. Yeah, immediately Raven Simone and Rosie Perez were like, uh-uh, honey. Right?
And then she's like, I don't mean it like that. And it's like, well, sorry.
But you said it. Yeah. So later, Rosie Perez literally apologized to Kelly Osbourne for taking it so seriously, which I thought was not okay. I'm like, fuck you. She said it. Like, put the ignorance out there so that other people can be educated about why saying this is not okay. Because I've heard other people say it, too. When we talk about illegal immigrants, people are like, well, who are you going to get to, like, do all the jobs that you don't want to do? Like, yes, but also that's pretty demeaning to, like, immigrants, right? So, but the thing that I just find really interesting is that Kelly Osbourne is so upset that people are taking her comments out of context and like painting her in a way that she's not. But when all this stuff happened with Juliana Rancic making the comment about Zendaya
and her wearing dreadlocks. Smelling like weed.
Smelling like patchouli and weed.
Patchouli and weed, yes.
Which, okay. Still to this day, I will say that I really don't believe that her comments were racially biased or ignorant. I think that she was alluding to hippies. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's exactly what, like, I took it as. Everybody else kind of took it as, like, her talking about Rastafarians and stuff like that. And, like, I don't think she had any, like, and she even said, she's like, that wasn't what I was thinking at all. She was talking about the Bohemian, like look that Zendaya was putting off.
Yeah.
Kelly Osbourne threw her under the fucking bus. And like when I say that, she didn't. She made some like subtweets about how she doesn't condone racial ignorance and kind of like blasted like the racial ignorance that was like being said or whatever, and that she supported Zendaya. She never publicly was like, Juliana Rancic is a racist, blah, blah, blah. But then she left the show, admit, like, support, yeah, supposedly out of protest. Basically, it was that thing of like, you're supposed to be your friend. She could have really used you to stick up for her right now, but she didn't. Instead, yeah, you like took kind of this like sideways praise about like, I don't condone ignorance, and like then left so that people are like, oh, Kelly Osbourne doesn't play like that.
Yeah, but and then what you, she does.
Right, and then you say racially ignorant things and you expect that people aren't going to take it. Like, fuck you.
Yeah, sorry, that's exactly how it was going to play out.
What goes around comes around. Yeah, and I like Kelly Osbourne. Like, I actually really like her. But in that instance, I was like, you should have stood up for your friend. You should have been there. You should have supported her. You should have been like, she didn't mean it like that. Even if she did, it was completely ignorant and, like, did not mean any harm. Like, that's what you do when you want to play it straight.
Yeah.
So, whatever. And plus, like, it was a writer that wrote that line for Juliana Rancic. It wasn't even her. And, like, So, anyways, sorry, Kelly Osbourne, you suck.
Your team, Juliana.
Yep.
In this case.
Team Juliana. Hope you learned your fucking lesson. Who's going to clean your toilets, Kelly Osbourne? One of the dogs is named Lady.
I know.
That sounded creepy, though. Lady.
I was like, Kaylee.
All right, so now that we got that rant out of the way.
Yeah, I had to get that out.
I know.
We'd have forgotten all about that. Who knows what would have happened to our podcasting career. Oh, well, thank you so much for joining us for this episode, you guys. It's been having you.
Thanks, guys.
No, it was barely any girl talk. It was almost all pop culture talk.
It was like a lot of politic talk, too.
I feel like an adult.
You know, sometimes we think about stuff, guys.
I don't really. Don't get that impression.
Did you watch Wet Hot American Summer yet?
I've started it.
Okay.
It took me into the third episode before I got a really hard laugh out of it.
Okay. I haven't watched it yet, so
yeah.
I'm going to wait. I gotta wait.
You'll, it's, I mean, whatever, it's fun. People are in it.
I'm really excited about it, though.
Yeah.
All right, anyways, thanks, guys. We're 32, cruising into 33.
It's going to be good. Double threes next week.
Double threes.
I like double threes. Double three was good.
Double threes is a meaningful number.
It really is.
All right, bye.
Bye. Thank you for listening to this episode of Pizza Rainbow. For this and other great podcasts, you can check us out at mathishard.net or sign up at iTunes, where you can subscribe, rate, and review us.
For more of Jen Paulson, you can follow her on Twitter at TigerBeatPoet. You can also check her out on Instagram at JenJunePaulson. You can also follow me on Twitter at Amber_L Carter or check out my website at AmberLCarter.com. Thanks again for listening, and we'll be back again next week.